And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Almost from the time we learn to speak until the time when we die, there's one word that seems to be used over and over again. It's a short word, and yet it's a word that in many senses is undefinable. And that little word that we use from the time when we first begin to speak almost, and it stays with us as long as we live, is the word why. W-H-Y, why. We heard in the Scripture a moment ago, in Judges 6:13, when the angel of the Lord came and appeared to Gideon, and Gideon was thrashing wheat by hand in the wine press, he did this in order to hide himself from the Midianites, the enemy. And so he wasn't at the thrashing floor, but hidden in the wine press and just beating out that wheat by hand. And the angel of the Lord came unto him and he addressed him in strange language. When he came to him, he said, "Oh, mighty man of God, man of valor." The Scripture doesn't tell us, but I'm rather sure that Gideon was taken back. I'm rather sure he was shocked. If you were by yourself and someone suddenly appeared and they addressed you that way, wouldn't you look around and see if you could find somebody? You thought you were alone, and maybe you thought you were in close quarters. Nobody else was there, but don't you think you'd begin to look around and think, well, who else is here besides me? And who's this person addressing? And then when you came to the realization that there wasn't anybody else there and that you were the one being spoken to, you'd rather taken back, wouldn't you? After Gideon got over the shock, and I think there must have been quite a shock, because he was human like we are, and I believe that he reacted like we would react. But after he got over that shock and that he was being the one addressed, then he raised that question. If God be for us, or with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why? Why is probably one of life's most difficult words, because we raise it, we use it, we ask it in some of life's most unexplainable moments. I want to think with you on life's most unexplainable moments. All of us face them. And I'm sure that when we do, we react like Gideon did. Not from the appearance of an angel of God, but we ask people all around, why? Why has all of this befallen me? And I hope in the course of our study that you'll think about some of the times and some of the moments in your life when you ask that question. Small word, but one of the most difficult in all of our English language. Another one is the little word if. A few Lord's Day evenings ago, we discussed that word and God's usage of it. in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God Himself said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, and pray, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." That little word "if." But beloved, the word "why" is also so misunderstood and used so often. In the unexplainable moments of our life, in the mystery of life, the child comes to the parents with the question, "Why?" Some time ago, one songwriter wrote a song, and it went something like this. Told about a little child that often was coming to his parents, and the little child would say, "Why, oh why, oh why, oh why?" And the mother and dad would respond the way parents normally do, because. Why are the clouds white? Why is the sky blue? Why did it rain on the day of our picnic? Why did my pet die? Why do the frogs jump and fish swim? And oh, I'm sure every parent has sometimes wanted earplugs, oh, regardless of how much they love those children, those little inquisitive minds that were concerned about the answer to various questions, and when something happened would come and they'd say, "Why? Why did it rain today?" Or any number. You could just make the list as long as you wanted to. Well, we can say children are immature. We can say that their minds are fresh, that they're undeveloped, that their minds are like a blank sheet of paper and it has to be written on, filled in, and that's the reason. Sure, I know we can say these things. But that never really leaves us, does it? We don't ask the same why about the same things. But we ask the why about a lot of things. We're like Gideon. We say, "Now why have all of these things befallen me? If God be for us, then look at us." You could read Judges 6, the first 12 verses. And we don't have time today to go into all of those. But verse 1 says that Israel sinned before God, and He delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. When Israel sinned, I don't mean every single solitary sin, but when Israel became so bad, so engulfed in sin, God over and over again sold them into slavery. And on this particular time, it was the Midianites. And those Midianites, if you read verses 2 through 12, it'll tell you what they did. Every time the Israelites planted a crop and harvest time came, the Scripture said that the Midianites would come like a swarm of locusts, like an army of insects. And they'd come and they just take those crops and destroy their substance. And it seemed like when they tried to do something, the enemy always came in and always took. Don't you hear people say when when some calamity comes. When they've worked hard and they've tried hard, and then when somebody robs them of their possessions. That's how Gideon and the Israelites felt. They were hard workers. No people on God's earth, I believe, have been more industrious and harder workers than Jewish people. Jewish people, it's just ingrained in them to be industrious, to be productive. And as a result of it, you don't find many poor Jews. We have 5+ million Jewish people in our nation. But I'd say it's almost nil. It's almost non-existent of those who'd be on welfare rolls. A Jewish family is taught if they don't teach their son a trade and the way to make himself a good living, that it's a shame and a disgrace, and they can't even face the Jewish community. They don't know delinquency. Unheard of. They're hard workers. That's been true for centuries. They put out the crops. Even though they knew year after year the enemy would come and destroy the harvest. And on this occasion, Gideon had managed to get some of that harvest and had hidden here in the wine press and was beating out the wheat. And then when someone came, that angel of the Lord came and addressed him in a marvelous, noble, honorable way. He said, Why have all of these things befallen us if God be for us? If God be with us, then why are we like we are? Oh, you stood and I have with many people. And we've heard them say, why? I've seen those who, I remember specifically a case of a woman confined to a wheelchair. She couldn't look after herself. She was dependent on her husband and he seemingly was in good health. And somehow or other death took him and he was snatched like that from life. And I remember they rolled that wheelchair up to that open casket and she just sat there in that wheelchair and she looked. She cried. She said, what'll I do? I depended on him for everything. How can I get along without him? Why? Why him and not me? I'm saying to you that question has echoed and it's reverberated around our world millions of times, countless times by countless people who've said in some difficult moment or circumstance, why? Why? I read recently about 2 young men who had an alcoholic father. Those boys grew up in that home and they went their way. And someone later found those boys, those men, and wanted to find out how life was going with them. One of them was an alcoholic. He was just a drunk. And the person said to him, it seems like when you were raised in that kind of environment, what caused you to be this way? And that young man said, "Why could I be any other way when I had a father as an alcoholic?" The other boy was a teetotaler. He never touched the booze. He never touched the stuff. And they said to him, "Now, why are you the way you are? Because you had an alcoholic father." And he said, "How could I have been any other way? And the way I am in the home in which I grew up. Totally different." One followed the path of his father, and the other, totally opposite from it. Really, really life is what we make of it, isn't it? Now we can look at life and we can let the hard knocks of life destroy us, or we can use them to make us stronger. We can say, "Why have these things happened to me?" And we can let ourselves become calloused and bitter. Or we can rise above the obstacles that we face. Many of the calamities of life are not to our making. Many of them are things over which we have no control. We don't choose into what kind of home to be born. Those boys didn't. But we must not ever make the excuse, "Because of where I am, I'm what I am. Because of my environment, it's made me this way." No, I don't buy the fact that people are thieves because they're poor. People are thieves because they want to be thieves. Oh, they may have some needs, but that's not the way to meet needs. But why? It's a mysterious word. It's a word that pounds in our brain. And it's one that we often use. We're just that much like children. And we'll never really grow out of it to a great degree. We'll be like Gideon. We won't ask the same why about the same things. But we'll still ask why. Why has this befallen me? Why has this situation come as it has? If God be for us, why have these things happened? Why aren't things better? Why aren't things greater if God be for us? Look at the church. Wonderful, marvelous group of people. And yet in the spiritual body of Christ, distressed by heresies, torn oftentimes by pettiness, lowering its standards with increasing disloyalty and indifference. And sometimes we say, "Oh Lord, how long? How long?" Look at our world. Hardly a billion people in our world know anything at all about the name of Jesus. I'm talking about in any sense, in any way, under any form, under any brand, Christianity. Hardly a million people even know what the word Jesus even means. and now 4+ billion people. When the vast majority of them don't even know, much less to know the plan of salvation or the way of worship or the way to live. Don't even know the name of Jesus. You remember some time ago one rock musical group claimed that they were better known than Jesus in the world. And if you remember, I think a lot of our people, a lot of religious people got all incensed and all up in arms and all disturbed about it. But I'm not sure but what they may have been correct. That there may have been more people knew about them on this planet than knew about Jesus. Now that's hurtful. That cuts. Why? We look at our world and look at all of its problems and all of its difficulties. We say, why? I think as a community, we've probably looked at ourselves. And I've only been here a few months, but I think in the last few months, weeks maybe, we've looked at ourselves as a community, maybe more than we had ever, or maybe in a long time. How often do we make the Wall Street Journal? I don't have an index of it, and I don't know. But I think all of us have a pretty good idea. And so I think we've asked ourselves some questions. I think we've asked ourselves the why. And we've tried to search ourselves of our economic plight. Maybe other things. And so it isn't all bad to ask why. Sometimes it may be disturbing, but isn't all bad. It's not enough to just ask why. We must do as the angel of God said to Gideon in Judges 6:14, "Go in this your might. The Lord has delivered the Midianites into your hand." Gideon, don't just stay here in this wine press thrashing this wheat by hand. Just doing this when God meant you for the deliverer of Israel from the Midianites. Go in your might. I'll tell you that each one of us is mighty, mighty. We used to be told that the chemicals in the human body were worth about $1. I think they say now that the chemicals in our bodies are worth $2 or $3, not very much. But don't let that bother you for one moment. Scientists say that every human being is mightier and more powerful than an atomic bomb. That's right. There's more power within each one of us than there is in the atomic bomb. Well, I don't mean to destroy buildings and tear up cities. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about there's more potential power in us, either for good or bad, than the power in that atomic bomb. one single solitary life in the power and the might of God to make a difference. Let's not then just wring our hands about the calamities that come to us, about the difficulties that face our world, about the problems that plague the church, and neither let us think of some simplistic answer. I remember when I first started trying to stand before an audience, about the age of about 15, I think. As a teenager, I thought I understood what the problems were. Oh, I could see the problems in the church and the solutions, and yet no one would listen, I thought. But the longer I live, the more I realize that there's not a simple, easy capsule solution to life and its problems. It's not all that simple. But I've also sensed that if we do as Gideon, if we go in the might of the Lord, never giving up and never quitting, that the Lord can use us. That every one of us is powerful. That all of us are influential, and all of us are beneficial, and all of us are needful. The church needs every member of it. The weak, the strong, the in-between, whatever. And we're hoping that all of us will be stronger in the days to come. But all are needed. Why? Why has this befallen me? I've tried to live a decent, godly Christian life, folks say, and look at all of these things. Somehow or other, some folks have thought that if you served the Lord, you'd be wealthy and healthy and wise. And they really don't find the Lord promised in the real sense, either three of these. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I know if we want to be wise, we must adhere to that. I'm not sure in the sense that the Lord promised us either. I know He did in the first two. I know He didn't promise us health. I know He didn't promise us wealth. I know He didn't promise that we'd have our friends with us, those who are closest to us, always, always. Why? Why? A few days ago, a couple came to visit us. Two couples from Franklin, Kentucky, a former church. And just this last week, the book of funeral home called from Franklin said, Charles Gore died of a heart attack. I said to Johnny Butts, the funeral home owner, "Why, Charlie was just over here at McMinnville a few days ago, and they came to visit us. Healthy, great." He said, "Yes, he died of a heart attack. I talked with Bonnie. I'm sure Bonnie, like every widow, probably." Why? Why? And somehow there's just the humanness in each one of us. I don't think we'll ever get above that childhood way of expressing it. There's just that humanness in all of us that tomorrow, next month, or next year, or As long as we live, we'll be asking like Gideon, that great servant of God centuries ago, God, why? Why? I don't understand it. I can't define the word. I cannot explain it. And somehow or other that word just kind of chokes in our throat. Why? Why this disappointment? Why this hurt? Why this agony? But when we ask ourselves that question, let's never give up. Let's keep on keeping on. And let's be true to God. Let's be true to His Word. And let's live for Him.